Whereas today's shiur is actually a little bit stale, you might say. Last week it was more fresh because we're talking about Aser B'Teves. So I guess it's less exciting to talk about it now than it would have been last week. But on the other hand, if we come up with any radical ideas, you might be happier not to have known them last week. So we're going to learn a little bit about Aser B'Teves. The main Gemara in Shas, on the topic of the Arba Tanyas, right? There are four Tanyas that are made Zechel Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That's Shivas Vatamas and Tisha B'Av, Tzim Gedalia, and Aser B'Teves. There are two other days in the year that we fast. Yom Kippur, of course, comes from the Torah. That's for Slicha Mechila Kapara and Tanis Esther, which has nothing to do with Chorban Beis HaMikdash. But these four Tanyas are Zechel Chorban, and they're a set. And the Gemara, the main Gemara that talks about this set of Tanyais is in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. The Mishnah over there is talking about the idea that after Beis was Mekadesh L'Chodesh, and everybody all over the world needed to know when Beis was Mekadesh L'Chodesh, because you have to set up your calendars based on when Beis was Mekadesh L'Chodesh, so you have to get the word out to the Goyla. So the Shluchim, originally the Mishnah says, once upon a time, there was a system of Masi and Masuas. They would have message lights that would go out. But
smoke signals.
Yeah, and then the word would reach Bavel almost instantly at the speed of light, basically. But then Mishakilkulu HaBaitusim, so they couldn't do that anymore. And then the Shluchim, Hizchiv would be a Shluchim Yaitim, the Shluchim would go out. So then the Mishnah tells us, Al Shisha Chadashim HaShluchim Yaitim. This system, which was already a more expensive and more labor-intensive system, they didn't do that for all 12 months. 6 months, the Shluchim went out. The 6 months, that it really, really matters that there's something important on the calendar. On a month let's say Shvat, right? The next Rosh Chodesh is going to be Rosh Chodesh Shvat. If you don't find out till much later when they were made Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't matter so much because you don't have to do anything in Shvat. Mar Cheshvan also. But there are some months that, right, except Eat Bakta. Yeah, but that's not Debraisa. So the Mishnah says that for Nisan, of course, the Shluchim will go out. Elul, the Shluchim will go out. Why Elul? Not for anything in Elul, but you need Elul to know about Rosh Hashanah, knowing to make Rosh Hashanah. Then Tishrei, they would go out so that they should know when to make Yom Kippur. Sukkot, the Mishnah lists which are the six Chedashim. And one of the six Chedashim that it lists is Chedesh Av. And Av, they would go out, Me'atanis, because of Tisha B'Av. You have to know when is Tisha B'Av. Of course, not everybody's going to find out. You only have 9 days, right? There are some places that it took them a full 2 weeks, but as much as we can spread the word, we'll try so that people will know when to fast for Tisha B'Av.
Tishrei,
yes. Yeah. And the Mishnah said, Mepnei Tikkun HaMayadim, meaning for Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
So they were, even if it was, what if it came out on Shabbos?
What if what came out on Shabbos?
Rosh Chodesh came out on Shabbos.
Then they would say, I don't think they traveled on Shabbos. No, they would only start the next day.
Tishrei, what would happen?
No. Those shluchim were not going out for Rosh Hashanah. They went out for on Elul so that we should know about Rosh Hashanah, and then they went out on Tishrei for Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
That's what he wants.
And then the Mishnah also says that they went out in Chodesh Av b'Nei Atanas. So the Gemara asks,
when did they travel?
What happened?
Weekdays.
After Shabbat,
before
Yom Kippur?
Yeah, they went as far as they could, and wherever they reached by Yom Kippur, knew by Yom Kippur, and wherever they didn't reach by Yom Kippur, but if they reached them by Sukkot, they went over Sukkot. And they counted the days. The Gemara says that there were more localities that knew when to make Pesach than when to make Sukkot. Because there's one less travel day in Tishrei than there is in Nisan. So the Shluchim would get further.
So the ones they didn't get to kept an extra day?
Yeah, right. They kept the Sveikah D'Yayma. So one of the Chadashim that the Shluchim went out for was Av b'Pnei Hatanis. Frek the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, the Gemara at the bottom of Vichas Manaf, the Gemara asked for Lefku Nami Tammuz V'Teves. They're going out on Chodesh Av because there's a Tanis in Chodesh Av. So Chodesh Av is not the only one that has a Tanis. That Tanis, we said, is part of a set of four Taniyos. Okay, so Tzim Gedalia, that's covered already. Oh, Tishrei. But Teves, Tammuz, those have Taniyos that we need to know about no less than Tisha B'Av. So why don't the Shluchim have to go out for Chodesh Tammuz and Chodesh Teves? So the Gemara says, kind of, it's a long story. So the Gemara starts off like this. There's a pasuk in Zechariah, which is considered a little bit of a difficult pasuk to read. It says that the Tzayim HaRavi, V'tzayim HaMishi, V'tzayim HaShavi, V'tzayim HaAsiri, which refers to these four tanis that we just referred to, the numbers refer to the number of the month. The same Ravi is the Tzayim of Chodesh, of the Chodesh Ravi, that's Tammuz, and Chamishi, that's Av, the Shvi is Tishrei, that would be the same Gedalia, and same HaAsiri refers to Asar B'teves. And the pasuk says, Yul Satsang L'Semcha. So it's a prophecy in Zechariah that eventually there's going to be a Geula, and they're going to become a Satsang L'Semcha. But the Gemara asks, the pasuk seems to simultaneously be calling them both. So the Gemara answers that, yeah, under different circumstances, these days have different identities. When in times of Shalayim, which most Rishayim learn mean that the Beis HaMikdash is built, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, then it's considered a Satsang Simcha. Incidentally, the Lashon of Rashi over there, Rashi does not mention the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, "Bizman she'ei shalom means she'eini yad ha'umos tekifa aleinu," that there's no, that the Jews are not being ruled over by Goyim. That's called Yesh Shalom, that the Navi Zechariah says that these four tannaim become Yom Satsang Simcha.
Low expectations.
Okay. But we'll go with most Rishayim. Most Rishayim say that it means when the Beis HaMikdash is built. Okay, so Bizman Sheyesh Shalom Yul Satsang L'Simcha. Then on the opposite end, the opposite extreme, Bizman Gzeiras Malchus, Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara, or most Rishayim will go with Shmad or Tzara. When times are bad, then it's a Tzayim. So you start off with those two ends, right? When times are good, Bizman Sheyesh Shalom, then it's a Satsang L'Simcha. When times are bad, it's a Tzara, it's a Shmad, then it's a Tzayim. And then the Gemara says, "Bizman she'ein shalom ve'ein shmad." But if time, it's not the best of times, and it's not the worst of times. It's just regular times. So then, what's the halacha? Ratzu misanin and ratzu ein misanin. Then it's voluntary. If you want to fast, you can fast. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to fast. So the Gemara says that, and that's the answer to the kasha. You know why the shluchim didn't go out for Tevis and Tammuz? Because we live in decent times now. They're okay times. And so these fasts have a status of Ratzu Masanin, Ratzu Ein Masanin, and therefore the shluchim don't have to go out. The shluchim, we should send people running and make sure you get the right day for this tanis, which you don't really have to fast anyway, so we don't bother.
Which tanis?
The four tanis. It's talking about the four tanis. Yeah, so then the follow-up kasha, the very next kasha, the Gemara, the Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. It's all the same pasuk. Tisha B'Av also has the status of Ratzu Masanin, Ratzu Ein Masanin. So why did the shluchim go out for Tisha B'Av? And the Gemara answers, Shani Tisha B'Av Nisha Huchpulu Bait Tzareis. Tisha B'Av is worse. It's the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. Beiser was destroyed. The Nechra Shehair. So this is everyone fast. But the other Taniyos are Ratzu Masanin, Ratzu Ein Masanin, and therefore the Shluchim don't go out. So that's the end of the Gemara. You read that Gemara, if you come away, you know, with just that Gemara, it sounds like it's saying that, let's say this, Asar B'Tevis that just passed was a voluntary fast. Those that want to fast can fast. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to fast. But many of the first Mishainim, Achreinim say that while this is the official halacha, Ratzu Masanin, Ratzu Ein Masanin, but that doesn't, it is voluntary, but that doesn't mean that it's up to each individual to decide for himself. It's up to Klal Yisrael to decide. Klal Yisrael had to decide what to do and what not to do. And the way Taisa says, that, you know, kvar hiski, Ratzu v'hiskimu, that they would be Masanin, that they would makabal on themselves, that they would fast, even though the original Takanas and Avim did not make it mandatory for times such as these, but Klal Yisrael decided we're going to fast anyway. And then a number of Rishonim connect this to a Gemara in Megillah, which gives a little bit of a historical context. There's a Gemara in Megillah where it says, or Blazer says over three surprising practices that Rebbe did. One was that he was not an atiyah b'Purim, that he planted a tree on Purim. That's the reason why it's coming to the Gemara Megillah, because that starts the whole discussion about whether you're allowed to do malach on Purim, you're not allowed to do malach on Purim. That's not our subject today. The second thing that he says is that he was rachatz b'kreinu shel tzipayri b'shavas b'tamuz. Then on Shavas b'tamuz, he took a shower in the public bathhouse. He went into the public bathhouse for everyone to see, and he went and he took a bath on Shavas b'tamuz. And the third story was Ubikesh Lakar Tisha B'Av, that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. That maybe we'll talk about a little bit later on. But that second one was that he took a shower on Shavuot Batamuz. So now Tosfos learns that the Gemara means he took a shower, but he didn't eat, he fasted. And the Goyin says something very interesting, that Rebbe lived at a moment in history that was sort of a crossroads. The Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, and you know, under the Romans, and the Romans in Eretz Yisrael were worse than anyone. You know, the barbarism that they had. You know, the Yidden were being killed left and right, and it was really terrible times. It was Shas Hashmad. That was the times of the Churban, and it continued after the Churban. Rebbe lived about 100 years after the Churban, and that whole century was terrible in Eretz Yisrael. But in the times of Rebbe, Rebbe was, well, there's a number of Amari Chazal that talk about how he was friends with Antoninus. Antoninus, I'm not so sure who Antoninus was. Was he the Caesar in Rome, or was he just the head of the Roman government of their colony in Eretz Yisrael? But either way, he was an important Roman official, and Rebbe was a friend of his. So the Gemara says that it's mistabra that in his times, Nachum Migzeirosav, that the Gzeiros became more relaxed. There are others that point out that maybe that's why Rebbe was, we know what was Rebbe's main contribution, the Chibur of the Mishnah. And as the Rambam describes in his Hakdam Tiyana Chazaka, the Chibur of the Mishnah was not, you know, was not a personal project of Rebbe. What happened really was that Rebbe gathered all of the Chachamim to come to one place, and because he had all the Chachamim there, he was able to sort of canonize a text for the Mishnah. Why was it that Rebbe was able to gather all the Chachamim and before that they were never able to? Because you didn't have the security conditions for it until then. But in the times of Rebbe, you had some kind of stability and security in Eretz Yisrael, so they were able to do things. They were able to be Masad to the Mishnah. So the Gemara says that Rebbe recognized that he was at a crossroads in Hilchas Tanis. Until then, it was a Shas Hashmad. And so the Tanis was in effect, Me'ikir Adin, the full-fledged rules of Atanas. But now it's a new world. Now, for the first time since the Romans came, it's the time of Ein Shalim Ve'Ein Shmad. So what should be the rule? Maybe we should do away with this Tanas. Officially, we could. Came along Rebbe and said, no, here's what we're going to do. I'm taking a shower, but I'm not gonna eat.
Pizza was never a problem in Shabbat and Atanas.
So we're going to see soon. The Ramban says that it was. That'll be the next step that we're going to cover. But Rebbe, by making drawing this distinction and yes, shower, or yeah, not eating, but yes, showering, but he was, by eating, he meant to be saying that even though here on it's really voluntary, but this is what I think we should do. We should fast even though it's voluntary. And that was Keveya, that the Minig Yisrael is that we fast. And
so we're talking about 3 out of 4, right?
Right. It is about 3 out of 4, right? Because the Gemara says the Tisha B'Av is more chamer than the others. So Rebbe was keveya that we should fast even though it's not mandatory. And then the Rishonim use the lashon va'asur lifritz geder, that you know, once Klal Yisrael accepted it, again, according to this version of the story, it was Rebbe personally who made that the minhag. But either way, all the Rishonim acknowledge that looking around the world, it's clear that is the minhag. Klal Yisrael fasts on these days. So it's also the first get there. You're not allowed to break the fence, right? That's an expression that Chazal use when they want to talk about the importance of keeping a minig yisrael. So even though enechanami, it's not a real obligation me'ikra din, right? One wouldn't be violating the takanas neviim if one didn't fast nowadays on Shavuot Batamuz, but he'd be violating the minhag that Klal Yisrael has been observing for many centuries, and therefore that's the obligation to keep it. There is a Ritva that says something interesting. It says a little bit more. He talks about that Gemara. It says Rebbe took a shower, and right, he meant to be showing that you're allowed to take a shower. And he asked the Kash, like all the Rishonim ask, you know, to show that you're allowed, he could have eaten also. You're allowed to eat. The Ritva says a Chiddush. The Ritva says that when the Gemara says Ratzu Misan and Ratzu Emisan, and it really only means Legabe the other Inuyim. Legabe the Bechitza, Sichin, the San Tash Shamita, that's what became voluntary. But the Isser Achila, that never became voluntary. That's still in full force. The Gemara, when it was, so then what's the Gemara's answer to the Kasha? The Shluchim didn't go out. It's not so clear. Shluchim didn't go out. The Gemara's saying, because Ratzim Sanin and Ratzim Sanin. But according to the Ritva, that just means for the additional Chumras. So I guess the Ritva will have to explain the Gemara that it means that since it's not such a big fast day, so they didn't bother sending out the Shluchim. It's not as good a reading of the Gemara. But that the Ritva holds that the Tanis is in effect nowadays. Me'ikirdim, mitakarnas anaviyim. Well, most Rishonim disagree, and they say that Mitakarnas and Avim is really buckle nowadays. It's Ratzu Masanam, Ratzu Emasanam, but there's a Minigai we say to be a Deinu, Vasul the Fritz Gader. Okay, and then the Ritva, I'm sorry, the Ramban, coming back to the Ramban, the Ramban is really the one that talks most about this subject, and all the Rishonim after him are quoting the Ramban and mostly accepting what he says, and sometimes people disagree with the Ramban, but the Ramban sort of wrote the book on this. Where did he write about it? The Ramban wrote a sefer called Teiras Adam, which is primarily devoted to Avelos. In Yonei, Avelos, and not just Avelos, like end-of-life issues. He starts off with halachas that are gay when somebody's sick and going to the doctor, and then end-of-life, somebody's a geiseis, and then he gets into the, you know, halachas of kriya and kvura, and then Avelos also. So where does this come in? He's talking about Avelos, you know, and related in Yonim when somebody's relative dies. But then he adds a chapter in the book, Shara Avelos Yeshana, the old Avelos. And that's Hilchas Tisha B'Av. So there he brings into this sefer, which is about Hilchas Avelos, he brings in a chapter about Tisha B'Av and then the other Taniyos. And he says the Chiddush that we were just talking about before, that really all four Taniyos look the same. All four Taniyos had the halachas that what we recognize as Hilchas Tisha B'Av, that was originally all four Tanis. And what do I mean when we talk about Tisha B'Av versus the other Tanis? What we recognize as Tisha B'Av is two Chumras over the other Tanis. First of all, there's Chamish Inuyim. It's not just Achil and Shli, it's also Achit Azichin, Nilsan, Tash, Shlamita. But in addition, and maybe even more importantly, that is a 24-hour fast. Right? What the Pesachim call Mafsikim Mibayoyim. You have to stop eating while it's still daylight. That's what we call the Suda HaMafsekes, right? That's the stopping of the eating. We're Mafsikim Mibayoyim. And we keep the Chamish Inuyim. The Ramban says that when the Nevi'im were Masakin Taniyos Lezecher, the Chorban, because of the Chorban, all the Taniyos were made that way. That's what a real Tanis looks like. The only place where we find in real Halacha a smaller Tanis is at the time of drought. The first series of Taniyos was a smaller Tanis. But once you get to, you know, there were three, in the Mishnayos and Masachas Tanis, by the drought, there's the first, the earlier Tanis, and then the Emsa'iyos, and then the Achrayinos. By the time you get to the Emsa'iyos, the middle series, it's already Mafsikim Vayim, it's already 24 hours, and it's Chamishi Nuyim. And the Ramban says that it's not Mistaber, that Taniyos that were made, Zeche L'Chorban, should have been less Chomer than the Emsa'iyos for a drought. So he says that really all of them were made the same way. The real Aser HaBetavis, the original Aser HaBetavis looks exactly like Tisha B'Av. It's 24 hours and it's Chamish Inuyim. But since in later generations, the halacha became Ratzu Masanin and Ratzu Emasanin, so at that point, you didn't really have to fast. So if Chai Yisrael had wanted, they could have just said, no, thank you, we don't want to fast altogether. So instead, they said, you know what, we'll do a half measure. We'll fast partially. 12 hours, just achil and shtiyah. There's no such thing, really. That's not a real kiyum of Aser HaBetavis. But since you don't have to do Aser HaBetavis, so it's just Mishum Minig Yisrael, so it's okay. That's what Klal Yisrael decided to do. But that's not what the real Aser HaBetavis looks like. The real Aser HaBetavis, like the Ramban, is exactly the same as Tisha B'Av. It's 24 hours and it's Chamish Inuyim. And then the Raman says, and I'll bring you a raya, and he brings a raya from the Gemara that we were just saying over, but it's a very surprising raya because he reads the Gemara almost the opposite way around from the way that we were just saying it over. Most Rishonim learn that when the Gemara says that Rebbe rachatz b'kreina shel tzipera b'shivas v'tamas, that he took a bath on shivas v'tamas, so the Gemara means that he took a bath. And Taisus asks Akasha, what's so special about taking a bath? He could have eaten also. So Taisus answers, no, he didn't want to eat because that is a minig Yisrael, not to eat. But Taisus understood that he didn't eat, he just took a bath. The Ramban says, no, I think he ate also. He took a bath and he ate. And his purpose was to show that we don't keep Shavas HaBetamas anymore. He meant to be Mavatal, the whole Shavas HaBetamas. As Dr. Ramban, how do I know that he meant to be Mavatal? Again, he's arguing with Tosfos reading of the Gemara. He believes that Rebbe was eating also. When he was Rachat B'Krenish and Sibari, he was eating also. He says, you know why I think so? Because, remember, this story about Rebbe was part of a series of three stories. He was not an Atiyah B'Purim. He was Rachat B'Krenish and Sibari B'Shavas B'Tamas. And what was the third thing that it says? Ubikish Lakar Tishabov, and then it ends up V'Lei Haidu Lei Chachamim. But he was coming to be Oikar Tishabov. If it was coming to be Eicher Tisha B'Av, so he didn't want to keep Tisha B'Av, so surely he wasn't keeping Shavas
B'Tamos. That was only when it was a Nitcha.
Oh, so the Gemara, that's a good point. But that is the following step of the Gemara, where Abba Bar Zabdu comes along and he says to Rabbi Elazar, he says, you got the story wrong. Really, it was a Nitcha, and he said, Hoyol V'Nitcha Yidacha. But the original reading, the way Rabbi Elazar said over the story, was literally, Bikish Laka Tisha B'Av, V'Lei Haidu Lei Chachamim. But Dr. Ramban, if he was Bikish Lakat Tishabav, Salachas Kama Bachama, he was being Oiker Shivas Batamas. So when it says he was Rachas Shivas Batamas, that means he was being Oiker Shivas Batamas. So why doesn't it say he ate? Maybe because this is a more public thing. You know, to us, you know, we live in a different society, right? To us, showering is a more private thing than eating a meal. But the Ramban says, you know, lunch you eat in your house. But bath, you have to go to the bathhouse. So that's a more, right, you have to go to the base of Americans. So that was a more public thing. And he points out that we find elsewhere that clearly that the Gemara uses such an expression as a way of uprooting a fast altogether, because the Gemara tells a story that once there was a basin that made a fast on Hanukkah. They were going to do a fast on Hanukkah. Rabbi Lazar was very opposed to that. You're not allowed to fast on Hanukkah. And so the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar went out and took a shower, took a bath. And Rabbi Yeshua went and took a haircut. Those are two, and it's clear from the Gemara, they meant because they were making a macha against having a fast on Hanukkah. So this is the way they made their macha. One took a bath, one took a haircut, which obviously they ate also, if they were making a macha against the fast, so they ate also. But that's not the way they made their macha. He didn't do it in private, but they wanted to make a public demonstration. The Ramban says that when it says that Rebbe was Rochas B'Kodesh Shel Sipari, it really means to say that he was Mavatal the fast. Now, if Shavas B'Tam was never included in a Serechitza, then how does taking a shower Mavatal the fast? So from the fact that that was his way of showing that I'm not observing this fast, that's a raya that the original fast, the real Shavas B'Tam is when it's in effect, includes the Chamisha Inuyim. And it includes the Chamisha Inuyim, it includes the 24 hours also, because those go hand in hand. So Ramban says that this is his raya, that the real Shavas B'Tamuz and Asar B'Teves and Sam Gedalia are actually 24-hour fasts. And Chamisha Inuyim. Now, the Gra says that the Ramban's raya is, he says he's not, he thinks it's not a good raya. Because the next part of the Gemara, where it says that Rebbe was Bikish Lakar Tisha B'Av, so Tezis asks Kasha on that. Maybe Tezis asks a very simple kasha, not a lumdish kasha at all. It says Rebbe wanted to be Oiker Tisha B'Av. Wow, he wasn't from? He didn't think that we should mourn for the Beis HaMikdash? How could it be? How could it be that he didn't think we should mourn for the Beis HaMikdash? And notwithstanding that, like you pointed out, that wasn't really the right version of the story, right? Rav Abba Zabda says it was just a nitche, and he said Hayol v'nitche yidocha. But still, this is bother. How could Rabbi Elazar have even thought that Rebbe did such a thing? What did Rabbi Elazar think? Rebbe was anti Beis HaMikdash, anti Avelos for the Korban. So Tezis says, Avada, it doesn't mean, when it says he was Bikish Lakat Tishabav, it doesn't mean he wanted to be Oiker entirely. It means he wanted to be Oiker the extra chumras, meaning that which we're knowing in Isser of Rechit HaZichin, Vasan Tashamita, that he wanted to be Oiker, but he never wanted to be Oiker the fast. Of course he was going to fast. So that's what Tezis says. Tezis gives another teretz also, but the Gra says this is the correct teretz. So if that's true, so then the Ramban's raya falls away. The Ramban said that Rebbe was surely eating on Shavas B'Tamuz also, because he was even going to eat on Tisha B'Av. It says Bikish Lakar Tisha B'Av. But Zok the Gra, according to the way Tosfos reads the Bikish Lakar Tisha B'Av, does not mean he was eating. He wasn't eating on Tisha B'Av, so he wasn't necessarily eating on Shavas B'Tamuz also. Right. All he was doing was taking a shower. So then maybe he meant to be saying that he just wanted to show them that there's no Isser Achitza on Shavas HaBatamos, there is an Isser Achila. It's not a raya that he was coming to demonstrate that the fast is entirely abrogated. Mamela, it's not a raya that the original Shavas HaBatamos included an Isser Achitza. So the Gemara says that his raya from that Gemara is a faulty raya, but his chiddush, Zok the Gemara, I endorse wholeheartedly. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what I think is the best raya. The Pasuk in Zechariah lists the four Taniyos. Tzoyim Ravi, Vitzoyim Hamishi, Tzoyim Shvi, Vitzoyim Asiri. Sounds very much like they're all on the same footing. With the Tzoyim Hamishi is Tisha B'Av. And that one we know is 24 hours in Hamishi Nuyim. And the Pasuk lists all of them together. So doesn't that indicate that they're all on the same footing, that all of them are... So he says the Ramban of Ad is right. He said, I don't like his reading of the Gemara and Megillah, but the Iker Yesod of his is right, that the real Aser B'Tavis, the real Shavas HaBatamos, is a 24-hour fast with Chamish Inuyim. That which we don't do, the 24 hours in Chamish Inuyim nowadays, that's just because nowadays it's just... It's not really in effect. It's all Ratzum Sanin and Ratzum Emesanin, and that's why we can get away with just picking and choosing whatever we want. Klai Yisrael decided we're going to keep this Rechitza for 12 hours, and the rest of it we're not going to keep. Now, there's a very big mystery in this piece in Ramban. If you read the Ramban, there's two paragraphs, one after another, that seem to... He contradicts himself almost minei ubei about... It's like a halachic matter and also a history, how he viewed the times that he was living in. The Ramban, in the first paragraph, I started off by saying overhead, the Ramban said that although the Gemara says Ratzum Sanin and Ratzum Emesanin, which means it's voluntary, but the Ramban says, don't think that means for you it's voluntary. You're not allowed because it's already a minig Yisrael, but also the fritz get there. And then he adds the line, the kol shekem b'deiris halalu, especially nowadays, Sheba Avayni Seinu Sherobu, that due to our many sins, let's say, is some kind of a lashon that Kov de Yad Ha'iv de Kechavim, that the, you know, their hand is very heavy upon us, and we have tzarais. So the Tanyais came back into effect, Me'ikir Adin U'mitakonas Hanaviyim. He says, you can't be making on these Taniyos because we live in a Shas HaShmad. That's what the Ramban, in that paragraph, he seems to be saying, because we live in a real Shas HaShmad. He says, this is not the good old days anymore, that it was Ein Shalom Ein Shmad. Things are bad. Ba'avayneseinu Sherobu, things are quite bad. And we could consider this a time of Yesh Gzeres Malchus, and under such circumstances, Tzoyim, right? The Gemara says, Yesh Gzeres Malchus, Tzoyim. It's a real Tzoyim. So the same as an effect maker, I didn't know he was allowed to be makel. Right? So when in the first paragraph we was talking about, do I really have to fast today? So he says two things. First of all, Asul Lefritz Geder, because it's a minig Yisrael. And second of all, nowadays it's so bad that it's mitekanas and avim maker, I didn't mitekanas and avim. Then in the next paragraph, he doesn't break it into paragraphs necessarily, whatever. And then, you know, then in his next thought, he says, now let's talk about the Chamishi Nuyim. And he says this chiddush that we were saying over that. He believes that the real Aser B'Teves and the real Shavas B'Tamas, Sem Gedalia, they always include Chamish Inuyim and Masigim B'Yoyim. And he brings a raya from the Gemara Megillah, he brings his other rayas. And then he says, so how come we don't do that nowadays? He says, well, because, you know, nowadays it's Ratzum San and Ratzum Emesan, and so we're allowed to pick and choose what we do, and we decide we're just gonna do the Isser Achila Shtiyah just for 12 hours. So what does he mean, nowadays it's Ratzum Misan and Ratzum Emesan? He just said a minute ago that nowadays it's a real Shas HaShmad, and it's the same Me'ikir Adin. So he really seems to be contradicting himself from one half of the sentence to the other. Very hard to know how to reconcile these two lines in the Ramban. I think it's almost partial that you have to say this, but I did see it inside also that in the there are notes on the tour from a Rav Leib Chanelis, which is Chanelis, and he was a Pesach who lived in Poland in the late 1500s. It's maybe the first Sefer that was written on, I shouldn't say that, obviously the Beis Yosef is before that, but leading out the Beis Yosef, from the Sfarim that are written on the tour, I think he was before the Bach, I mean they overlapped, but I think he was before the Bach, and it's in the bottom of a regular tour, there's a section called, I think, Chidushei Hagois. And that's and each piece, it says at the end, in parentheses, Maharlach. And Maharlach stands for Ableib Chanelis, which, you know, nowadays the name is pronounced Chanelis, but it's really, it's, you know, it's one of those names. I think we've talked about this before, like the Marsha, that there were a lot of names that were in use in Poland in the 1500s, 1600s, that were really girls' names, ladies' names. They're surnames, but they're based on a woman's name, and I think it means to say it's like his, I mean, it's her Rableib. So sometimes it was his mother, sometimes it was his mother-in-law. Like the Marshal, right? So Rableib Chanelis, that's Rableib Chanelis. The Marsha is Rab Shmuel Edels. And the Bach is Rab Yoel Circus. I mean, right? Circus is a nickname for Sarah. And it was Circus Rab Yoel. So this is one of those.
And the Maratz Chayus. Maratz Chayus. And the Chavis Yuer.
Chavis Yuer is Bachrach. His last name is Bachrach.
He was raised, I think, by his grandmother Chava.
Oh, yeah?
So it's Chavis Yuer.
Aha. So yes, in the name of his Sefer. In the name of his Sefer. That's not actually his surname.
Yeah, of course. But yeah. The name is Chavis Yuer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Matt Chius.
Aha. Okay. But it's written, doesn't he write it with a Vav Chesyud Vav Sof? Chesyud
Vav Sof.
Aha. But it was, he meant, it is named after a Chaya. Okay.
Is it considered a mitzvah when we fast?
Yeah.
So why don't we make a bracha before we start fasting?
It's a good question. But yeah, maybe because it's named by Maisa.
Because
angels are
maybe.
Yeah. Not sure. Okay. So what did the Ableib Chanelis say? That in the first line when the Ramban said that it's that times are bad and it's the Shas HaShmad, he didn't really mean it. He didn't mean Shmad Mamish. He was talking over there. He wasn't getting into the nafkaminas about Chamishei Nuyim, right? That was the next discussion. He was discussing over there someone that says, I don't want to fast. So to that he said, you know, this is not a time to start going and saying, I don't want to fast. We don't live in the best of times. It's pretty bad. And he just meant it's certainly no better than it was in previous generations. And if all the, your father fasted and your grandfather fasted, you're going to come and say, oh, nowadays I don't have to fast? It's pretty bad times. He didn't mean in a legal sense officially that it's a real Shas HaShmad and the Tzayim is no longer a Ratzu Mitzan and Ratzu Emizan. Avad, it's still officially a Ratzu Mitzan and Ratzu Emizan. But he meant under these circumstances of Ratzu Mitzan and Ratzu Emizan, you better go with the Mitzan, with the choice of being Mitzan, because your father did and your grandfather did, and times nowadays are no better than they used to be. That's what he meant by that. And he maybe overstated it when he said that... it's a shas hashmad ma, you know, he said, especially nowadays, that it's gzeres malchus and it's me'ikra din, me'tikarnas and avim. He didn't really mean that literally. That's what the Maharalach says, and I mean, I think that's what you have to say to be miyashu with the, you know, with the mamash, the next piece in the Ramban. I think it's interesting to bring in, there's another Ramban, which also is a stira to this line. In this first line, when the Ramban says, nowadays things are so bad, it should be Me'ikra Din, there's Ramban in Parashas Kisavai, Ramban al-Tayra. I don't know what we say, until now we're quoting from the Ramban al-Tayra, it's Adam. But there's Ramban al-Tayra in Parashas Kisavai, talking about the Teichacha. And he says that, you know, the Teichacha is full of, you know, all sorts of really, really terrible things, and talking about how, you know, you're going to be attacked and you're going to be killed, and every curse imaginable. And let me see if I can find this piece, I'm sorry. And then the Ramban says, Ramban says that these klalos are describing, you know, it starts off by saying that the goyim will come and drive you out of Eretz Yisrael. So it talks about the Churban, and the Ramban, this is not our Indian now, but he discusses how the Teichacha in Vayikra is really about the Churban Bayis Rishon, and the Teichacha in Mishneh Torah is about the Churban Bayis Sheni. And so it's describing the jar of the Churban. And then he says that all of these psukim are talking about the immediate after effects of the Churban. Who remembers the Deiris Haheim, Shehu Bezman Churban Bayis Sheni. That's what these psukim are referring to, and then he goes through how a lot of the psukim match up with the real events that happened. But after we arrived already in our various destinations in Golos, none of our things are cursed. And our vineyards and olives that we plant in the field are no worse than anybody else's vineyards and anybody else's olives. Aval anachnu ba'arts ba'aratzeis kishar ha'amim yeshvei ha'aretz ha'hi. We are in these lands, like any of the other nations in these lands, and sometimes better than them. Shirachim avaleinu, because Hashem's rachamim is upon us. Ki yeshivaseinu b'galus hi b'haftacha, because our settling here in the galus has a haftacha from Hashem, she'amar lanu, that He told us, v'afkam zeis b'yesim b'eretz ha'yveim, that when you'll be in the lands of your enemies, like ma'astim, like adam, like ha'laisim, like ha'fabrisi itam, ki ni Hashem alekehem. A little bit of a surprising line, this Ramban. It's a worthwhile piece to know. Ramban says that it doesn't say in the Teichacha that we now in the 21st century are going to be stricken with curses. It says in the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash we're going to be stricken with curses. After that, it may be very good. And he seems to be describing his experience. He's saying, Anachnu ba'aratzois kishara amim oy b'tayiz mehem. Sometimes we're in the upper class even. So now, it's very schwer. How do you reconcile that with what he says in the Teres HaAdam that nowadays that the Bava Yenisena Sherabu, there's so many gezeiros from the Ibdik Chavim that the Taniyos became Iker Adim V'Takarnas HaNaviyim because it's considered a Shas HaShmad. So I don't know how to be Miyashiv it, but certainly, you know, if he meant Mamish literally, then the steer is much more bailate. If you accept what the Maharalach or Leib Shainalist says, that he didn't really mean it so strictly speaking, he really just meant to say that it's Al-Kalpanim not better than it was in previous day race. So then it takes a little bit of the bite out of this stira. I think it's still troubling that he wrote both of these things, but Al-Kalpanim, it's a raya, I think, to this Teres of Leib Shainalist. Now, what we come away from the Ramban with is that there is such a thing as the original Shavas Batamos, Asar Batavis, which was Mafsikim Ba'yom, 25th, 24 hours, Chamishi Nuyim. But nowadays, we don't have to do that anymore because it's no longer an effect of Eker Adin, it's a time of Ein Shalom, Ein Shmad, Ratzim Masanin, Ratzim Emesanin, so you don't really have to. The Mishnah Brura is a very surprising Mishnah Brura. I mean, surprising because it's really contrary to the Minhag HaOlam. You know, we kind of usually expect that if we grew up from, you know, you went to yeshiva, you were taught by your parents what a Jewish person does, so you're not going to be in for any major surprises when you open a Mishnah Brura. Okay, in many cases, that's not true. But over here, this is very surprising. The Mishnah Brura writes that, talking about Asar B'Teves, Sem Gedalia, Shavas HaBetamuz, that a Baal Nefesh should really fast 24 hours. And keep Chamishi Inuyim. Now he gives a little he hesitates a little bit with the Chamishi Inuyim. He says maybe not all five, four out of the five. Don't bother with Nilas HaSandal because that's going to look weird. And since most people don't do this, and you're going to be the only one, and it's going to look weird. So even if you want to be a Baal Nefesh and keep all the chumras, don't be machmer on Nilas HaSandal. And he also says, this is Shamita, it depends, you know, under ordinary circumstances, yeah, you should stay in that night, if you're Baal Nefesh, Yachmer, on the Chamishi Inuyim, but if it's a little tefillah, so then there's real mitzvahs aina, so you shouldn't abstain because of this tatas, because it's only for Baal Nefesh. And he mentions a third kula also, a third area where he thinks that even the Baal Nefesh should be mekel, and that is Vasar B'Teves falls out on Friday, and then your showering is Lakovit Shabbos, so don't abstain from that shower because, oh no, I want to keep the stricter fast because it's going to come at the expense of your Lakovit Shabbos. So you should take a shower Lakovit Shabbos. But barring those three exceptions, he says that really every yid on Asar B'Teves, Shiva Asar B'Tamas, Sem Gedalia, should be fasting 24 hours, should be negin Esarachit, Sasicha, Tashamita. And now why? Well, I mean, that we just said, based on all the Rishonim, that that's not the halacha, at least nowadays, when it's Ratzu Masan and Ratzu Ein Masan. So he says two things. First, he brings from the Magen Avram that which, if we accept the Ramban, that the original Asar B'Teves was really 24 hours in Chamish Inuyim. But when Klal Yisrael decided, then we can Ratzu Masan, Ratzu Ein Masan, we can do whatever we want. So we decided we're only going to do this and not that. Why did we decide this middle ground, only this Rachil Ashtiyah, only for 12 hours, not, and we're going to skip the rest of it? So the Magen Avraham says that the way he understood from the Rishonim was that because it was a Devar She'ein Rebbe Tzivu Yechayin Lamed Ba, it was going to be too hard, and the whoever it was that was Makabal, the Minhag for Klal Yisrael, didn't want to make it too arduous for us. So if that's the case, if it's only because it's too hard, so if you could do it, then you should. Really, ideally, you should do it like that. It's just that it's too hard. So you should. The Mishnah Berurah brings that down. It's a little bit shver where the Magen Avraham got this from. He says he's quoting the Ran. The Ran doesn't really say that. So it's not so clear, but then, you know, what that would be based on. But the Mishnah Berurah, he brings it down for the Magen Avraham, but then in the Sharet scene, he adds, he says, you know, maybe there's a better reason to keep all the Chumras on these Tanis nowadays, and that is because times are really bad now. In the Ramban, we said, the Ramban used such a lashon about times being really bad, we said, yeah, he didn't really, really mean it. The Mishnah Berurah says, oh, I do mean it. I'm living in Poland, whatever, in Russia, you know, under the Tsar in the 1890s, the early 1900s, exactly. I don't know when he was writing Chilek Vav, it was probably a little bit after 1900. Things are quite bad now. And if the halacha is, right, based on this Ramban, that when it's a Shas Hashmad, then Shabbat HaBetamah is really the same as Tisha B'Av, so maybe this is a Shas Hashmad. Maybe it should be the same as Tisha B'Av. So based on that, he says, Habal Nefesh Yachmir. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, again, except for these three places where you can make up, but otherwise one should be Machmir.
What's the meaning of Habal Nefesh?
It means somebody who wants to do things best.
Chassid.
Right, chassid. Right. If you chassid want to do it in the best way.
The Gemara sense of
chassid. Yeah, exactly. It's the fact that we don't revert to that. We cannot never see, you know, if there's a kula or a chumra, we don't revert back later on many years. Is it because the faces of men of the Chachman and Minyan that they didn't want to go back and forth all the time? Like if you have a good period, they'll say, all right, it's only 12-hour fast.
So actually, we're about to address that. I mean, the Shuvas and the Tashbits, which we'll come to in a few minutes.
Okay.
So all of this, everything that we said so far, is a little bit, I would say, is the build-up to the following Ha'ara. This is the climax. Right? So my son came home from yeshiva one day in the middle of last week and said that one of the Rebbeim in yeshiva was tining, not as a poisek, but was arguing that, you know, this year is not the same as last year. We don't live in ordinary times now. It's a real Eis Tzara. We're saying Tillim every day. We're saying Tillim even on Shabbos. I know in some of your shuls, you're saying Avinu Malkeinu every day.
It's on Shabbos.
What?
I was in the shul, they said on Shabbos. Instead
of Avinu Malkeinu even on Shabbos? Yeah.
Avinu Malkeinu,
yeah, there are definitely shuls that are saying Avinu Malkeinu. You know, the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah day, right? It's a lizekul haria when it's a Shas Tzara, and we're in a Shas Tzara. You know, we definitely, we should be walking around with the feeling, with the consciousness that it's a Shas Tzara. You know, Yidden are in danger. The Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, certainly, you know, in the immediate aftermath of Simchas Torah, we all felt like that, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to just become acclimated to it. It's a real Shas Tzara, you know, certainly for the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. So my son said that his Rebbe was tining that you should fast 24 hours. And, you know, you could wear shoes. You know, the Mishnah Berurah said it was makel on that. But otherwise, you should keep this as a real, as a Tisha B'Av. My son is in Shara Torah.
Where's the Rebbe?
we'll stop there. So my son came home, he shared this with me, so we were thinking about it together. I was looking back in the Ramban. In the Ramban, the Ramban and Teres Adam is really the main makar for this whole discussion, and you know, because I mean, really, what this comes down to is how do you define a shas tzara? How big a tzara does it have to be? How broad a tzara does it have to be? The Ramban uses a lashon which really is suggestive of a very, very strict approach, because the Ramban's lashon when he's describing, you know, when he's saying over the words of the Gemara that Pizman Tzara, then it's a tzaim, or Bizman Shmad, it's a tzaim, he says, Tzara b'mokam yadua b'Yisrael. Meaning, if there's a location, if there's one, maybe that means a significant location, where there's a tzara, that makes it into a tzaim. The implication is that it doesn't have to be an international tzara. Even if there's a localized tzara, maybe means to say that, you know, if it's just, you know, a Chabad house somewhere, you know, and there's three Jews in the whole, you know, 500 square miles, and they're in a tzara, maybe that wouldn't be called, a shas tzara. But if there's a significant Jewish community and they're under attack, then that's a tzara, but makom yedua b'Yisrael, that makes it a tzaim. Mashmos of the Ramban is that makes it a tzaim all over. Based on that, there would seem to be a strong argument to say that, yeah, this, you know, the last week's Tanis, that's why it's good that we're having the share this week, not last week, right? last week's Tanis maybe should have been a 24-hour fast. I was looking around, I saw a reference to a tshuva in the Tashbetz, and the Tashbetz actually has a discussion about this. And it's interesting, he asks, he brings down this Ramban, he interpreted the Ramban exactly the way that my son's Rebbe did, that even a localized tzara makes it its same all over. And he asks a couple of kashas on this. So one is as follows. He says, you know, the Gemara that we started with, that said, that in a time that's ain't shalom ve'ain shmad, it's ratu misan and ratu emisan. Let's remember, what was the, at the beginning of the show, I said over the whole Gemara with the kasha and the teretz. It was going on the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that said that the shluchim will go out for Chodesh Av. And the Gemara asked the kasha, why don't the shluchim go out for Chodesh Tevis and Chodesh Tammuz? And to that the answer was, Ratzu Masanim, Ratzu Emesanim. Meaning, because nowadays it's not Shalom, not Shemad, so it's Ratzu Masanim. What's the nowadays? It's going on a Mishnah. It's the Amiroyim talking in the Gemara. It seems like it's saying that nowadays, meaning the days of Chazal, the days of the Tanoim and the Amiroyim, are called the time of Ein Shalom and Ein Shemad. So, Frek the Tashbetz, and this is very classic Tashbetz. He was he shows a lot of bekiyas in a lot of places. He says, but what about the Gemara at the beginning of Ksubis, where it says that there was a gzeira that called basula hanisis liyam revi tiboy leheg main tchila. Very bad gzeira. What about the, and then he brings, and there's another Gemara in Ksubis on Daphne Tess. And there's another Gemara in the Gemara in Avon, and the Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara here, and the Gemara there, and the Gemara there. And he lists, I think, 15 Gemaras, where so the Gemara tells about Shmad. Many of them use the lashon Shasa Shmad Hoya. Did we have recently in the Shir, that there's, I think this might have come up, in, I'm not sure if it was here or somewhere else, I was talking recently about a Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yudalit, where there's a discussion, Machlokes Remei and Rabbi Yehuda, about whether you're allowed to use boards as chach on your sukkah. And Remei brings a raya. Don't you remember such and such a time they used boards? And Rabbi Yehuda brought the raya, and Remei said, "Oh, but that was a shas hashmad. That, you know, over there, it was makom sakana or makom shmad. The guy that made exer, you're not allowed to build a sukkah, so they were doing that to make a disguised sukkah. So you have these gemaras all over the place." Where the Gemara says that there was a Shmad. And yet, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says nowadays, which seemingly means the times of the Rishonim and the Achronim, it's called Ein Shalom Ein Shmad. How could you... I meant times of Tanoim and Amirayim. No, come on. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says nowadays, meaning the times of the Tanoim and Amirayim, is Ein Shalom Ein Shmad. Mm-hmm. How could the Gemara say that if you have all these Gemaras, 15 places, just in the Talmud Bavli, where we read about a shmad in the times of Tanoim and Amirayim? So that's one kasha that I have. So in other words, so the shluchim should have had to go out, at least many years, the shluchim should have had to go out to Bavel to tell them about Teves and Tammuz. Tzveita kasha, he says, from nowadays. Now the Tashbetz, let's put them into context a little bit. The Tashbetz lived in the later 13 and early 1400s. He was in Spain, and then he left Spain in 1391. 1391 was the real turning point of the Jews of Spain. 1492 is the famous year, that's when that was the expulsion. But when things went from good to bad, or really pretty much overnight, was June 6th. It was mamash overnight. June 6th of 1391, things went from good to bad. The Jews of Spain were really, that was the best place to be a Jew in the world, and it had been that way for centuries. And then there was on that day, June 6th, there was a pogrom in Seville, and a few thousand Jews were killed. And then there was this mob that through the summer of 1391 that like gave them, you know, chizuk and energy. Then they went from city to city, and the whole of Spain was attacked. All the Jewish communities were attacked in the year 1391. It was the main instigator was a galach by the name Ferran Martinez. And he was a very rabid, like, kill the Jews kind of a galach. That's what his sermon sounded like. And apparently he was very good at what he did, very influential, very, you know, he was able to make people act. And really, everything fell apart for them that year. The Tashbetz left. He, in or near 1391, he left Spain and he went to North Africa. Many Jews fled to North Africa. Over there, they were going from Christian territory to Muslim territory, and it was much better over there. But he still had a lot of contacts in Spain. That's where he came from. That's where much of his life was. So in this tshuva, he says, what about nowadays? Nowadays, we all have brothers and sisters and parents and, you know, and brothers-in-law that are living under the most terrible, oppressive conditions. It's a gefer l'chashas hashmad. Why aren't we fasting Aser B'Teves and Shabbat Sabbatamos and Sem Gedalia 24 hours? We're not. Why aren't we? So it's interesting. You mentioned before, he throws in, I wasn't going to mention this, but since you did, he throws in the Havamina that maybe you'll say that it can't keep switching back and forth, that once they didn't in previous generations, we wouldn't do it nowadays either. And he says, no such thing. You know, it's clear from the Gemara and from the Ramban that it really is dependent on the particular time. And if you live at a time of Shmad, then yeah, you have to keep a 24-hour fast, just like Tisha B'Av. So why aren't we machmer like this nowadays? So he had a kasha, why aren't we machmer nowadays? And why, when the Gemara was talking about the Shluchim being Yaitzeh, in times of the Tanaim and Amoraim, why weren't they machmer then? So he says that although I follow the Ramban and everything that he wrote in this whole piece about, you know, the original Shabbat Sabbatamas and the nowadays Shabbat Sabbatamas, everything is good. But one detail that he says over there, he was hifriz al midaysav, meaning he went a little bit too far. And he identifies this line that I mentioned before, where the Ramban said, Sarab mokum yedua b'Yisrael. He said, I would like to say that the definition of Ishas Shmad means it's Sarah L'chol Yisrael. If it's L'chol Yisrael, and I assume that L'chol Yisrael doesn't mean Chol Mamish, but like we always say in Halacha Rubei Kekulai, if Rav Yisrael is under attack, is in danger, is facing Shmad, then that makes it Ishas Shmad, and the Tzayim becomes mandatory, becomes the Ikra Din, 24 hours, Chamish Inuyim. When it's a localized tzara, so then he says, then it doesn't have this effect in halacha except for that locality. I mean that yes, enachanami in the place where they're facing a tzara, then yeah, it goes into effect. But it doesn't go into effect for the whole world unless it was such a great tzara that it was really threatening worldwide Jewry. But if it wasn't threatening worldwide Jewry, then it doesn't have this effect on the rest of the world, but enachnami in that localized place, it would be considered a shas tzara, and it would be considered a real tzayim. So he says, in the times of Chazal, the shmad was always localized, and he even specifies. He says, for the most part, the shmad was in Eretz Yisrael, and in Bavel was pretty good. He says, you know, some of the gemaras that he had referred to were the oppression against Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyoin. Okay, that was all in Eretz Yisrael. Bavel never dealt with anything like that. The Tibor Lehegmon Tchila, where was that? Yeah, that's brought down in a brace. That was probably also in Eretz Yisrael. The Shluchim that go out to announce the Chodesh, where were they going? They were going to Bavel. Right? The shluchim ha'yetzim l'goyla. Goyla in Rosh Hashanah means Babel. In other words, in the times of the Tanoim, we sometimes think that Babel just appeared in the times of the Amorim, right? The Talmud Bavli. But no, in the times of the Tanoim also, many Jews, or most Jews maybe, even lived in Babel. But the Tanoim, for the most part, were in Eretz Yisrael. The Shmad was in Eretz Yisrael. But in the Goyla, which is where the shluchim were going, they didn't have a Shmad. So for them, it was a real Retzu Masanin, L'Retzu Ein Masanin. But where there's a local, but in Eretz Yisrael, maybe in Echanami, in Eretz Yisrael, they had to fast 24 hours. But for that, they didn't need Shluchim Yitzim. Then he writes, very interestingly, how does that carry over? How does that play itself out? He says, nowadays, for me, meaning in his days, for himself. So he says, I'm in North Africa. In North Africa, we have it good. So my Asar B'Teves is a short fast, right? It's 12 hours, it's just an Esrachi Lan Shtia. In Spain, and Echanami. In Spain, I really think that if you're living there, the Tanis might be 24 hours. But he says, but it's not really an Egeya, because who's asking the Shaila? The people that are living there, they're not keeping Shabbos or Yom Kippur either, because they're Anusim, because they're living under this terrible Gezeira, so they can't keep the mitzvahs. So for them, they're not asking the Shaila. For us, the answer is that you don't have to keep the 24 hours. But theoretically, if there's somebody there who's able to keep the mitzvahs, yes. For him, in Spain, today, it would be a 24-hour fast. I heard this yesterday. Somebody told me over a story from a grandmother, a great-grandmother, that after the Nazis invaded Poland, it was September 1939, so this person said that his grandmother remembered getting instructions that same Gedalia, that they have to fast a full fast. This was in the city of Grodno. Reb Shimon Shkop was still, he was the Rav then. He died, I think, later that year or the following year, but presumably he was, I'll assume that this psak came from him, although I don't know that for sure. All I know is that a resident of Grodno remembered as a child being told that this year we're fasting 24 hours and Chamishi Inuyim. And that's, you know, because they were under attack. It was a Shas HaShmad. I've also heard, I don't remember the details of this, but I do remember hearing once, it's a crucial detail that I don't remember. I remember hearing once that there were Yidden that fasted a full 24 hours during the Holocaust. I don't remember now, again, I heard this many years ago, was he talking about Yidden in America or Yidden in Europe? In Europe, again, most of them, it wasn't Negea, how could they fast, right? I mean, I'll tell you a different interesting story. I heard once from Vesa Friedensen that after the war, summer of 1945, in the DP camps, Tisha B'Av came. The Kloisenberger Rebbe was going around and telling people, Hashem Genuk Fasten. Hashem Genuk Fasten, don't fast, Tisha B'Av. So certainly, during the war, with the people that were starving, they weren't asking Shilas. In America, also, there weren't, I don't think there were too many people that were, that were holding enough to be asking Shabbos. But I've added, there were some, there were big time Chacham, and what were they noyeg during the war? So I remember hearing, but it's a shaky memory, I don't really remember what the details were. Sure, Aaron was here, Moshe Feinstein was here. No, there were people that knew what they were doing. And Echanami. This would be an interesting nafkamina, because there, they weren't in the place of the tzara, right? They were safe here in America, but that could be considered tzara against Kol Yisrael, Rav Yisrael. I mean, Eastern Europe, the Jews of Europe, that was most of the Jews of the world, or close to most of the Jews of the world. So that was definitely a tzara against Kol Yisrael. I would think, in hindsight, it's easy for me to say, but I would think that should have made these same ways, the Ikar Adin, the same Tikkanos Nevi'im, that Mafsikim B'Vayit Yoyim HaMishu Inuyim. Today, pastures, we're not, Abish was a health, and that nothing should chas v'shalom get worse. And today, I don't think we're in that kind of a situation that we could say that there's a shmad against Rav Yisrael. And so this Asar B'Teves probably officially, legally, in halacha would be the same as less Asar B'Teves. Although I would just add again that this part is really not negeah. We're already after the fast. That although even if in halacha it's the same, but maybe in the hergish that we should have, in a fast day, there is certainly more of a sense of it being in a tzara now than under ordinary times.
Mm-hmm.